Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3 this evening. And we're continuing in these series of messages on healing. But you know, there are principles in this that you can apply to other areas of your life. They can apply it to your love walk. You can apply it to your walk in prosperity, your family. You can apply these principles of faith to every area of your life. Now let's begin reading this evening together, starting in John chapter 3, starting in verse 14, and let's read through verse 18 this evening. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Something that keeps coming up, and I was kind of waiting on the Lord today. Pastor Greg said, you're in and out of my office today. You need to go and close your door. And I said, well, I didn't tell him, but I'm just kind of, it was a way of me getting up and kind of just waiting on the Lord, you know, and just listening more on the inside. But what I keep hearing down here is, what I kept hearing was John chapter 15. And I want to look at that as our theme, I guess. The message title for this evening, if you need one, is Healing is in the Vine. And I want to look at that as kind of a basis for this evening. And look at the vine. And before I do, I'm just going to read a few scriptures to get us kind of going here this evening. I want to look at, if you want to turn there, it's fine. You don't need to. But Hebrews 11:1, I want to just read this again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And I like the New Century Version, because it really makes it clear. Sometimes we read scriptures so much, we quote it almost like a parrot. And sometimes one scripture, a scripture in another translation, kind of can register on your heart. And the New Century Version says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for, and this is what I like, and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. And that's what I like, that faith is being sure of something that we hope for and actually knowing that something is real even if I don't see it. So I know, faith knows that I'm healed even though I don't see it. Faith knows that I have money when I don't see it. Faith knows I have resources to do something when I don't see the resources yet. I don't see it. Faith knows I have a job, a better job, when I believe God for it, even though I don't see it yet. I know I got it. I got it. You see, faith knows something. Well, faith, first of all, has to be based on what? Knowing, I know there's a scripture that we're all familiar with in 1 John 5 that says, this is the confidence, see, that we have in him, that if we ask anything, what? According to his will, he hears us. So first, in order to have confidence or faith or assurance, that we have to know that it's his will. And I think that's what we've been doing, is walking through lesson by lesson to unfold and to get firmly planted and to keep watering that it is his will for us to be healed, because why would he have sent Jesus? Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we've got scripture after scripture, and we've walked through the Old Testament to look at types or a foreshadowing of redemption. And so we know it's his will, so we can have assurance and know that something's real, even though I don't see it. And what can clog up, I use that word, clog up, what can clog up your knowing is what? Worry, looking at evidence and stuff. See, if you're looking at something you see, that can clog up what you know. See, because now you're knowing what you see. Well, he didn't say that. He said, knowing that something's real that you don't see. See, and you're saying, oh, but it's real. What's real? What you see. And that's not faith. And that can clog up your faith and can affect your faith. If you meditate, and of course we know these things, if we keep looking at something we see, then it affects what we don't see. It can start affecting your mind and your thinking. And of course, as we've all known or read from others' teachings, that wrong thinking can create wrong believing. So if your thinking's off, your believing's off. And if you meditate on something long enough, your thinking gets corrupted. And then you start believing, and your believing's corrupted. But no, we're to look at this and keep our eyes on this. That's why when they said right here in John, we just got done reading it, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he said they were to do what? Look on that, not the problem. They were to look on Jesus. They were to look on the serpent on that pole. And we're to keep our eyes firmly looking at the Word of God. Almost, every time I talk to this brother and he reminisces about how his wife just got up, he's like, come on, let's go. Let's get out of here. Just like that. Matter of fact, just got up and says, okay, honey. He just got up and left. Just like that. Left the doctors going, you're going to need, you know, and of course they're tongue wagging saying, if you don't get this, you're going to have this and blah, blah, blah. Goodbye. We'll see you. And they're probably dead and gone. And she's still going. You see what I mean? So if you hang on to what they say, you may end up getting the results that they say. Now, let's turn over to John 15. And I want to start there this evening. And before, I'm going to read this scripture. You turn to John 15. And I want to read this scripture, or two scriptures that we ended on the last time we met together. One, I'm going to read these so you just get yourself steadied there on John 15. You can write this down if you don't have it. Romans 6:14 It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." And you could say, "Sickness shall not have any dominion over you, because you're not under the law. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I'm under grace. Sickness and disease has been broken under grace." And I like this. This says, the New Living Translation says, "Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace." So we're not under the power and dominion of sickness. We're under grace. And we've been freed from that power and that grip. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, "Stand fast." And that word "stand fast" means to stand firm, to persevere, to persist. See, I like that. I was sharing something I saw. You know how people create these little placards and different sayings that they put up? I like this. It says, "Water cuts through a rock, not because of its power, but because of its persistence." I said, "Oh yeah, I like that." Water cuts through rock, not because of its power, but because of its persistence. And so sometimes we give up too quickly, and we don't persist. We don't stand fast. In what? It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." We're free, and we're to do what? Persevere. We're to persist in that, not give up, because we've been made free. So we're to persist. And it says to keep one standing. Now, this is what some of the other modern translations say. God's Word translation says, "Christ has freed us," this is what I like about this, "so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom." He's freed us so we can enjoy the benefits of freedom. "Therefore, be firm in this freedom and don't become slaves again." Slaves to what? Slaves to sin. Slaves to bondage. Don't become slaves to that again. You're free, and you're to enjoy the benefits of this freedom. The Message translation says, "Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you." So we're not to allow bondage to be put on us. We're free people and redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, did you get to John 15? If you didn't, ask for help. Now let's begin to read. I'm going to read down here. I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, "I am the true vine." Now that's a good... Let's stop right there. Who's speaking here? Jesus. So who is the vine? Let's see. You weren't sure about that. Who's speaking?
Jesus.
Who is the vine?
Jesus.
Okay. All right. Good. I don't know if you were sure or not about that. He said, "I am the true vine." And then he says, "And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." See, Jesus, the premise here is we're to bear fruit. "And every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He purgeth it, that it may do what? Bring forth more fruit." Boy, that's exciting to me. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, how? That you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So we can see here, he is the vine, we are the branches, and we can see here, there is no sickness in him. So if we're connected as a branch to the vine, there is no sickness in us. We are the healed. He is a healthy vine, and we are connected to him and have the same eternal life in us. We have the life of the vine in us. And we've been freed from sickness and disease. Let me read this here. This is the Bible in basic English. It's a little more modern translation of John 15, 1 through 8. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Be the same as the husbandman. Now listen to this. This is good. He takes away every branch in me which has no fruit. And every branch which has fruit, he makes clean so that it may have more fruit. You are clean even now through the teaching which I have given you. Now let's stop here a moment. Seed produces a tree, which ultimately the potential in that seed is to reproduce itself. And we have been plant, what's been planted in us is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. So if we want a harvest, we have eternal life through the Word of God. If we want healing as a fruit of the Word of God, then you've got to plant that seed in you. And so, even here, when this says here, every branch which has fruit, he makes clean so that it may have more fruit. So is it possible to bear more fruit from healing? That's what the scripture is saying right here. We could. We could bear more fruit concerning our prosperity. We can bear more fruit in our love walk. It doesn't have to be just one or the other. But the more seed, and that's what he's saying here, you are clean even now, how? Through the teaching which I have given you. So the more we get of his teaching, it begins to unfold and reveal those areas that need to be cleaned up. What means cleaned up? Change our thinking. Come up a little higher. Reach out a little farther. And so we can come up a little higher and reach out a little farther in those things that we're believing for concerning these bodies. Well, I don't know if I can believe for that. But you keep feeding and watering, and now all of a sudden it's like, easy, grab it, and I take it. What I couldn't do before, now I can see, and I have faith, and I reach out and take it. See, that's bearing more fruit. And that gives him pleasure and glory, brings glory to the Father. So when we talked about our prosperity, we can come up a little more. We can reach out a little farther and higher in that area, but it's going to come through staying connected to the vine and being cleaned through the Word. So that's the purging part. So that things that have affected our faith, how can our faith be affected negatively by our thinking? And so our thinking can corrupt or affect the flow and the faith that we have. And so that's what he's saying here. You are clean through the teaching which I have given you. So as we stay connected, not disconnected, but as we feed on the Word of God, and of course you can think about all the other scriptures, if we meditate in His Word day and night, we're going to make our way successful. See, and that causes faith to come. It causes us to come up a little higher. It purges us so that we do what? We bear more fruit. And so we can bear more fruit in the area of our lives where health is concerned. We won't give in to the things that come. It's too hard. I can't do it. It's too painful. I can't go on. No persistence. Don't stand fast in the liberty that's already been paid for. You see. And so what we can learn is that if we keep feeding, if we keep meditating, and we keep planting, this here says here, you're clean, you're purged through the Word. So those things that you think, I can't do that. It's too high. I can't reach that. Now it becomes reachable. Because, why? Faith. You're clean. Your thinking has been purged so you can bring forth more fruit. And you can make it. You can get there. You can do it. All things are possible to them who believe. But sometimes the believing part in our lives needs to be affected or purge out some of the stuff that's affecting our believing. You see? And so that was the area I wanted to focus on here. So let's see. In verse 4, it says, be in me at all times as I am in you. As the branch is not able to give fruit of itself if it is not still on the vine, so you are not able to do so if you are not in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who is in me at all times, as I am in him. See, he's in us at all times, and we're to be in him at all times. Gives much fruit, because without me you are able to do nothing. If a man does not keep himself in me, he becomes dead and is cut off like a dry branch. Such branches are taken up and put in the fire and burned. If you are in me at all times and my words are in you, then anything for which you make a request will be done for you. Here is my Father's glory, and that you give much fruit, and so are my true disciples. Now, why don't you just back up a few chapters over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And let's look at verse 12. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, followeth is a disciple. That's a follower. And life is, of course, you're familiar with this word, life is Zoe. It means eternal life. It means resurrection life. So if we continue to be a follower of Him, it says here, we shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And to me, this means the life of the Son of God, the eternal life, the resurrection life, will absolutely dominate, swallow up, and will control our physical lives. You've heard us share this. If you take in enough of God's word, enough of it, it'll drive out any circumstance or situation in your life. Enough of God's word will eradicate it. It'll purge it. And what's being purged, the work has already been done. What's being purged and corrected is our thinking so that we can take what's already been provided. See, it's already been provided. Healing's been provided. Prosperity's been provided. But the purging has to take place in our thinking and has to be changed and transformed so that we can take what's already been provided and receive it by faith. That's taking it by faith. So as we stay connected to the vine, as we allow the Word of God to purge and correct our thinking, we bear more fruit. And I'm excited about that because it gives us the reason why we need to stay in God's Word and keep our thinking in God's Word. And of course, through the years, you'd always hear Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton, you'd hear Brother Hagin say, same thing. Okay, somebody'd say X, Y, Z, and you say, okay, give me a scripture for that. Let's look and see, is that in the Word of God? Do I have a basis for that? Or can I find something that can apply that statement to that? When people say, well, you know, maybe, you know, we don't know. You know, maybe it was their time to go. You know, maybe their work was completed and it was their time to go. You know, again, those kinds of statements that people make, you can say, okay, what are you basing that on? What are you basing that on? How do you know? See, because it says it's been appointed unto man once to die. It never said there's a time appointed by God for them to die. So each one of you have a choice on this earth as to when to leave and when not to leave. Now God may say to you, and we've heard this, okay, those things that I have for you are done. It's time to come home. Okay, then it's still my choice. It's still my choice. The Lord says, it's time for you to come home. Okay, then I choose to come home. But He's not taking people out of this earth because He's given man a choice. Because if He was taking people, then He'd be overriding your will. And He doesn't. And every man has a choice to make. You've been healed, you've been delivered, but if you choose to submit to something, you can't blame God. It's your choice. And each one of us that leave this earth, we choose to leave. When I say it that way, when you talk to people that are in a situation where it's a life-threatening situation, people will fight, and this is why sickness and disease is so insidious, because people can start out, it's like running a marathon. You know, some of us will start running a marathon and we feel great, right? And you get about halfway in to this long marathon and you go, I don't know if I can do this or not anymore. I'm tired. I'm sore. I got cramps. I'm in a 26-mile race, and I'm at mile 20, and I don't know. My legs are cramping up. I'm out of breath. I can't make this. I can't do it. And they do what? They give up. But they've trained, and they've done it, but on this day, they give up. And so where the Word of God is concerned is that when sickness and disease comes, you will find that if people are not surrounded with people that will encourage them and share the Word of God with them and assist them and help them come through that, a lot of times they just give up. I'm too tired. I can't do this. And even when people say that, you need to, even if you're there to help, don't arm wrestle people with scripture. Just say, okay, let's say this. Let's say the Lord is my strength. And begin to, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Even if they have to whisper it. Find something that you can probe and find out where, because sometimes when people are hurting, how many you've all experienced this? Because I have. And I know if I have, you have. When you're hurting and in pain, and people, the mouth is going in front of you like this. It's going, and they're doing scripture in your face. Sometimes when you're hurting, you want to go, please, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Please. And you need to sometimes listen, and instead of just hitting people with scripture, especially when people are in pain and they're hurting, you need to find out from the Holy Ghost what to say. Because sometimes you can be the person that can get them over or just take them to a place where they don't want to go any further. And you need a lot of times just listen and pray, and sometimes just, you know, find out what the Spirit of God would have you share. And when it comes to those kinds of things, we need to be a little more sensitive, especially us and you that go in and minister to people sometimes, and you share the Word of God. Be sensitive. Don't be quick to speak. Be quick to listen. And listen on the inside. And you'd be surprised at the results. Now let's turn a moment over to Psalm 27. Familiar scripture. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? And when you look up the word strength, it means a place of safety, protection, refuge, stronghold. So he is my stronghold. He is my protection. He's the protection of my life. And the Good News Translation said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will fear no one. The Lord protects me from all danger. I will never be afraid." And God's Word said, "The Lord is my life's fortress." I like that. He's my life's fortress. In Him do I trust. And let's turn back over to Colossians 1:12. Familiar scripture. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And the New International Version says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You know, we talk about seed and we talk about incorruptible seed. One of the things that came to mind when I was just putting these notes together, anyone who has any knowledge of the Bible, and we walked through some of the scriptures in the Old Testament, where when they were required to bring a lamb to the temple for sacrifice, what was one of the things that was required? It had to be a spotless lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb. It had to be without blemish. Correct? So if that was a type, and Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, he was spotless, he was sinless, he took our sins and our sicknesses so that we don't have to. If the lamb was a shadow or a type of Jesus, and it had to be spotless and without sickness and disease, then why, if God's will was for us to be sick? See, I think once and for all, we need to just clear it out, sweep it out, and say, it is not God's will for us to be sick. Because if it was his will, then he would have allowed a sick lamb to be sacrificed. But it was required, it had to be a spotless lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb. So if it was his will, then it would have been allowed to bring an imperfect lamb. But it wasn't. And so we need to say, no, this sickness, this imperfection, this disease has already been paid for. And I will not allow it in my body. And I'm going to speak to it and command it to go in the name of Jesus, because I know it's his will. And anything that I ask in his will, I have a confidence that he hears me. And if he hears me, then he answers it. And so in the name of Jesus, I can speak to it and command it to go. See, that's right thinking. That's not corrupted thinking. And so we need to take on that thinking. And when sickness persists, pain persists, you can say, no, it has to change. It must change. And the Word is working in me now. And the Word is purging and making me clean so I can bring forth more fruit. What? Fruit of healing in my body. And it's purging out the stuff in me. How? Through the Word. And the Word is driving out. Why? Because the Word is life. It's eternal life. And I'm connected to Him through the Word to the vine. He said, I am the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus. He's also the Word. So if He is the true vine, and the life comes from the vine, well, then the life comes from the Word. And if I stay in the Word, then that life from the Word is going to push out, change, dominate, eradicate everything that's not of God in my body. And I will live a sickless life. And I will leave this earth when? When my body just tires out and says, I'm ready to go. I'm satisfied. I've done everything I need to do. And your body just kind of, it wears out. See, we don't have an incorruptible body. It's corrupted. It's mortal. But we have an immortal spirit. But we're going to be clothed with immortality. What? This mortal body. So it's going to wear out, but it doesn't have to wear out with sickness and disease and cut our life short. And no. Did everybody get that? I don't know about you, but I am going to and will live a sickless life. And we need to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, because there's healing and health in the vine. He is the vine, and if I stay connected to the vine and I don't disrupt the flow of life from the vine, it has to correct, it has to change, it has to fix things that have been corrupted in this body. He quickens my body with life. And of course we know he can put back those things that have been taken out. See, nothing is impossible to them who believe. You could have lost a finger. He can put it back. Just like that. He can put it back. You know, so many people, you know, they're going through these things with diabetic things. People lose a toe, they lose a foot. He can put it back. We may have done some dumb stuff. We may have not used wisdom where our diet is concerned, and maybe we put ourselves in that position. Okay, but the light of God's word flooding in says, oh gosh, whew, boy, that was dumb. Why get in the ditch over that? You say, Father, forgive me for not using wisdom. Now, I believe that you're going to put back what the devil stole. Why can't you? See, the only thing that stops you from believing is you. You're the only one. And that's why I'm saying we need to raise our sights with those things that have been taken from us and have them restored. That brings glory to God. Brings glory to God. I wrote this down before as something in Brother Hagin's, one of his lessons. Listen to this. This is good. It says, faith kept in your heart will bring healing to your body. Faith kept in your heart never will bring healing to your body. But faith in your heart released through your lips will bring results. Faith in your heart released through your lips will bring results. But faith kept in your heart not going to bring healing to your body. It won't put money in the bank. And it won't allow you to walk in love. You can say, oh yeah, I'm going to walk in love. But unless you release words, faith is released through our words. Faith kept in your heart will not bring healing to your body. But faith released through your words will. So, we need to start releasing. And as it said, faith knows that something is real, even though I don't see it. I've got this. I have it. Just like that, my dear brother in Christ, he said his wife got up and said, come on, let's go. I don't need that. And walked out of the doctor's office. That's somebody who acted like they knew they had it, even though they didn't see it. And they acted that way. And actually, when a person knows it It's like you, if you know that you got money in the bank and somebody tries to make you think or tell you that you don't, you go, you know, you just go away. Be quiet. I'm going over here. You don't even listen. You just get up and go. Because it's like, that's nonsense. That's foolery. I know I got money. I got a bank account. Don't even talk to me. You're an idiot. You're a fool. But that's how we would, you know, you'd almost treat somebody like, you're an idiot. What are you talking about? I have that. I know I'm here. I have health. I have healing. I'm not going to act like you talk. I'm going to act like what I know. I know I'm healed. And I'm going to act that way. And I'm going to let my mind be purged and clean through the word that he spoke. And that's going to cause me to do what? That's the exciting part. Bring forth more fruit. It's going to bring forth more fruit. So those who thought, well, I'm doing all right. I arrived. I got over this. Yeah, but you could bring forth more fruit. Are you doing that? You could bring forth more. How are you going to do that? You're going to be purged through the word so that you can reach up higher and take more. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. That means I need my believing to be raised up, to be opened up so I can see higher and bigger. That's good. So you may not need it now, but you keep feeding, you keep stretching, and you're going to walk in divine health. No sickness, no disease. And it can be. It can be. All right, we'll pick up another time. But I might share this, and I was sharing this with Pastor Greg, that it appears from looking at things that healing is a subject that seems to be, for me, is striking a note or a chord in the number of things that are being accessed on our website. It is extremely highly accessed. And for me, I'm like, okay, I don't understand it. I don't. But God knows what people need or what they feed on. And I said, okay, if the teaching and the constant feeding on it will bring forth a harvest, and it will purge, and it will cause us to bring more out more fruit and bear more fruit. So if you had, for some person, getting over a cold may be a major thing. And they may reach out and say, I'm not going to take this medicine anymore. Or they may have pneumonia, or they may get something every year and see, you know what, I'm tired of that. I'm not going to take this anymore. And get over that by having their mind changed and transferred and transformed by the Word of God and say, I'm not doing this anymore. Somebody else, it may be something more serious where they've worked it and said, no, I refuse that. Jesus took my sickness and I refuse to take it and bear it. I'm not bearing this sickness. I'm going to walk out of this. I'm going to live free of it. And I'm not going to take this and bear it. Because society today will tell you, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, you have to live with this. There's nothing we can do. Well, I know someone who's already paid for it, who already has taken care of it, and I don't have to live with it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. You don't have to be rude. They can wag their tongue and tell you you're going to die and you're going to have to live with it. And you say, no, I don't have to live with it because Jesus lived with it and took it for me so that I don't have to. And I am free, and the Word of God is purging me and cleaning me and driving out from His eternal life, is driving it out of my body, even as we talk right now. And you need to say it as matter of fact and not rude, but just say, sir, I appreciate you. I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm already healed.
All right.
And I understand you have to tell me what the facts are, but I'm healed. And I'm delivered of it. And the healing power of God's at work in me.
Yes.
Now, they may say, what the heck are you here for? And they say, well, you know what? You can just tell them, well, I came in just to share the good news with you. That's right. But we're going to walk sick free. We're going to walk as it was intended to be. And the more we feed on His Word, the more we allow the Word of God to correct and change our thinking, because what we were saying is wrong believing is affected by wrong thinking. And you want to correct your believing, you correct your thinking. And when you correct that, you correct your saying. So, this is something that Brother Hagin, no, it was E.W. Kenyon, wrote in his books. Wrong thinking, wrong believing, and wrong talking will defeat you. The devil can't defeat you because Jesus already has defeated the devil for you. He's already defeated. And He's already done what? Delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son and given us the name of Jesus and the Word of God. So the only thing that can defeat us is us allowing the devil to just run roughshod on us. And that's what it says. Satan doesn't defeat you. You defeat yourself. Or if he does, you permit him to do so. You're permitting him to defeat you. And so we need to, as we allow the Word of God to continually purge our thinking and change it, we're going to walk in places that we dreamed of. Sometimes we sit here and go, boy, I sure would like to be able to do that. How many, because I know I have, probably 10 years ago or more, saying the word million, I kind of was like, million. But that doesn't seem so foreign anymore. Being sick with something might seem normal, and it might seem, not having it might seem, or saying, I'm going to walk free of that, might seem a little foreign, might, because someone might have lived with something for so long, and their thinking has been molded that way, that to say, I'm healed of that. I'm healed of cancer. I'm healed of diabetes. I'm healed of this, and I will not have it. That might be hard for someone to say if they've said, you know what, I have this. And people do. They say, well, I'm a diabetic. Well, so be it. But you can change that. And Brother Hagin has said, when he's gone to pray for people, God said, I can't heal them because they've put spiritual laws in motion. See, you've already been healed of cancer. You've already been healed of diabetes. You've been healed of it. But we need to change. We need to say what God says, and then correct the spiritual things that we've put in motion. by our words, and then also allow God. See, we can add years to our life through wisdom, and we can also shorten the years of our life through the lack of wisdom. Isn't that not true? So I could, through the lack of wisdom, say, I'm just going to eat whatever I want, and so be it. Well, you may shorten your life because of that. But if you get the wisdom of God on how to eat and what to eat properly, you may lengthen your life. And so that's all I'm saying, is that we need the wisdom of God concerning our lives, how to conduct our physical temple. But we also need to look at the spiritual climate that we've created with our words. And when we get that corrected, we're going to walk in divine health. And we can. And we are. Little by little. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep feeding. Keep raising your sight. Say, if it's one thing, just like we're, how do you, let me say it this way. Maybe this will help. How do you take the land? How did the Israelites take the land? One city at a time. One city at a time. They didn't take the whole land all at once. They took one thing at a time. How are we going to build that thing up at the village? One building at a time. How are you going to get to divine health? One thing at a time. One thing at a time. If you got 10 things going wrong in your body, pick one. Don't try to focus on all 10, because you just say, "How am I going to do that? It's too big." Take one thing, get a faith victory, shout, and grab the next. You know what I'm saying? And as they say, you know what I'm saying. Take one victory at a time. Don't focus on all the things that might be going wrong in your body. Focus on one and get the victory. Stick with that, get the victory, and move on to the next thing. And you're going to get there. You'll get there. You're going to walk free of everything that's tried to plague your body. You're going to get there. Praise God. Don't give up. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, so that you can enjoy the benefits. Amen. Be persistent. Say, I'm going to have this. I'm going to enjoy this. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we will walk in divine health. And we're letting the word purge us so that we can bring forth more fruit in this area in the health of our bodies. And we thank you for it, and it shall come to pass in our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Well, praise God. Amen. Anybody getting anything? I'm getting something a little more. It's getting down in here. It's taking root, and shoots are coming up, and I'm standing stronger against and firmer in those things that even try to come. I don't know about you, but we're going to get there. Every one of us are going to get there. He's the good shepherd, and he's not going to leave one of us out. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.